Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Friday, baby! What's up, Upstate South Carolina? How do you do? Great to be with you. I am Rob Brown. What's happening, y'all? Good to be with you on a Friday afternoon, a few minutes after the noon o'clock hour. Back in the saddle again here on the couch at the Casa de Love. My man Diesel back in the network studio pushing buttons, switching switches, in charge of the broadcast. Hit him with it, D-Train.
Before I do, are we just going to gloss over?
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Over the fact that you just absolutely swallowed the microphone to start the show.
Well, so here.
Right. What's up, everybody?
That's what you sound like. God.
So here's what happened.
We should do a dollar jar.
A dollar every time I'm too loud.
Every time you mess up, dollar.
Okay, first off, mess up's a strong word. I would say had a momentary break from my traditional excellence.
It's called professionalism, Rob. Try it.
I've thought about it. It seems like hard work.
Nah.
It seems like hard work, if we're being honest.
Do your job. Nope.
I mean, if I have to, I got. No, so
I'll do mine. How about that? Stick to sports.
That's all I was asking for.
Okay. Carry on.
That's all I was looking for right there. So here's what goes down. I use a tabletop mic on a mic stand right there. And the problem is when I was sound checking with you earlier, I had the mic on the table and I was sitting back on the couch. But when I start the show, I pull it all towards me. And so when I sound checked with you earlier and checked levels and everything, I was good. But then when I started the show, I was all up on the mic. And I got a little carried away there for a second because it's Friday, D-Train. It's Friday.
Thank you for that exciting peek behind the curtain.
We try to invite the listeners into our day-to-day. That's what we do here. We want you to feel like you are part of our world. So there you go. All right. Busy day on the show today. Coming up in the next segment, got an opportunity to talk with national sports writer Jay Busby, based out of Georgia yesterday, a little bit about the conclusion to the season for the Atlanta Braves, a little bit about where the Atlanta Falcons are right now. He joined me back in the day, back before he was picked up as a national writer for Yahoo Sports. Jay used to cover NASCAR and golf for them. And way back in the day when Jay was still on his upstart, he used to come on to talk NASCAR on my show. Now that he's big and famous, and I take full credit for his entire career at this point, Jay joins us, so we'll talk a little NASCAR. I got an opportunity to speak with Jay yesterday and play that interview for you coming up here in just a little while. In the third hour of the show, we did an interview with the fellas from Moving the Chains as well. They got all of the big high school docket set up for you. So we're going to hear from Kevin and John of Moving the Chains coming up in the third hour of the show, since we got some time to talk with them as well. Also spoke yesterday with John Harkes, the head coach of the Greenville Triumph, Andrew Lord, the head coach of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. You'll hear interviews with both of those gentlemen coming up in the second hour of the show. So we are chalked up busy today. But first and foremost, I want to apologize to those of you who tuned in yesterday and did not hear the Rob Brown Show here on ESPN Upstate. Yesterday, Mark Ryan was out. He was a tad under the weather. And so I sat in for him. And since I was sitting in for him, I had to go to network for this show. So for those of you who did not hear me yesterday tuning in looking for the show, I apologize for you. Because Mark was on remote, we had to get him covered up. But we are back to normal. We are back in the saddle again, man, and looking forward to spending the next 3 hours with you. How can I get in touch with the show, Rob? Well, I'm glad you asked, hypothetical listener that I made up for this situation. Here's how you do it. First off, the phone lines are open for you at 844-GSP-ESPN, 844-477-3776, 844-GSP-ESPN. You can text me. Our text line is 71307. Send your text to 71307 and start it with ESPN so that it filters through to Diesel and I. 71307 is the text line. Start your text at ESPN so that we can read it on the air. You can tweet us at The Rob Brown Show, at The Rob Brown Show, at Diesel on Radio, at Diesel on Radio, and at ESPN Upstate. If you'd like to get with everybody on the program, all the different ways for you to chat with us here on the show today, and we hope you will take advantage of those. And the email's open as well, robbrown@espnupstate.com, robbrown@espnupstate.com. If you'd like to come at us in that direction, we would love to hear from you. If you don't want to come on air, that's a good way to do it. So let's get into it, Diesel. It's that little thing we do, that little song and dance at the start of every show.
It's the lunch breakdown.
It is the lunch breakdown. That's exactly what it is. It is the three things you have to know about before you go talk sports with your friends, family, coworkers, or the dog, whoever you spend your Friday afternoon lunch break with. And we start with item number one. Khabib Nurmagomedov and Justin Gaethje are set to have what might go down as the fight of the year in the UFC. Both of them have now officially reached their goal weight of 155 pounds. Nurmagomedov had to strip all the way down to make the mark, but he just slid under. And then, of course, Gaethje did the same. The two will compete to unify the UFC lightweight championship belts. Nurmagomedov has been stuck over in Russia for the past handful of months because of the Rona. Travel restrictions out of that country were laid down, and he was stuck there. So in the meantime, Justin Gaethje has been acting as the interim lightweight title holder. Because of that, he has been carrying around an interim belt every time he has held on to the interim belt, including at the press conference earlier this week. Gaethje has just simply thrown it on the ground and said, I don't want that one. I want the real one. And they have decided in this case that they will unify those belts coming up this Saturday evening. Both fighters have made weight, and what, again, might be the biggest fight of the year for the UFC is officially on. I'll give you my pick, prediction, prognostication on that fight later on in the show. Item number two.
Before you go to item number two, are we going to gloss over the fact that you butchered his name three times?
I did not.
Yes, you did. How do you say his name?
Nurmagomedov.
No, it's Nurmagomedov. So now you owe me $4.
Okay, first off, I work in radio. I don't have $4 to be born. All right? You know that as well as I do.
I was hoping you would say it one more time so we could go for a cool five. Since you said it three times, I'll let you throw in a copy of Limp Bizkit's debut album, $3 Bill, y'all. How about that?
In fairness, that would cost me less than the $4 you claim that I owe
you. It's a great
you.
Record. I don't care what anyone says.
It is a great. I still own it and hot dog flavored water. I still own them both, and I will not ashamed for it. So say it again.
Khabib Nurmagomedov.
Nurmagomedov.
Yeah.
Except for it's Nurmagomedov.
What?
Nurmagomedov.
Nurmagomedov.
No, there's no. You're saying too many A's.
You're saying Gorbachev. Stop.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. Now you're just making stuff up. All right.
Item number dos.
We got baseball back on tonight. World Series game number three. We are all level at one apiece, and tonight is going to be a good one as the Rays send out one of their best on the hill, Charlie Morton, to take on the Dodgers number two. Remember, the Dodgers playing a little strategy here as they decided to throw a bullpen game in game number two, save Walker Buehler. Remember back in the NLCS, Walker Buehler was the first pitcher in the NLCS. He went game one. They were expecting to have Clayton Kershaw in game two. Kershaw ended up being unavailable, moved to game four. This time, the Dodgers have kind of shuffled up the rotation a little bit as Walker Buehler, who I was going to assume would start game two, was given an extra day of rest and moved to game number three. He will take the hill tonight. This might be the most intriguing pitching matchup of the World Series. We were all pumped by Tyler Glasnow taking on Clayton Kershaw in game number one, but Buehler and Morton have been the stalwarts of these teams in the postseason. Morton has become must-watch October baseball, a .57 ERA in this year's playoffs with an equally tiny .96 WHIP. Meanwhile, Buehler has pitched the second most inning for the Dodgers behind Kershaw and comes in with a 1.89 playoff ERA. So runs will be at a premium tonight. I don't know what the over-under is on this game, but take the under because these two cats have been spectacular so far. Charlie Morton is going to be a phenomenal showing tonight because he has been all playoffs long. The question is, will Buehler surrender those one or two hits that he's given up in games so far? Most of them have not been detrimental, but we know that one or two hits with the Rays can turn in to electricity. The Rays need a win in Game 3 because there's little chance their bullpen game in Game 4 will keep that vaunted Dodgers offense in check, and Game 4 is likely going to be a bullpen game for the Rays. So they need to give themselves a dub tonight because they are going to be at a heavy disadvantage in Game 4. And you would rather make it a three-game series in the last three games than make it a four-game series in which you have got to struggle to come back from behind without the added benefit of having a great starter in game number four. We'll see how that goes. We'll break that game down later on in the broadcast. Item number three. Before we head to our break, we made it official yesterday, and we'll talk about it today. Bubba Wallace has officially signed to drive for Michael Jordan's new NASCAR team. You heard me right. Don't adjust your speakers. Michael Jordan is a NASCAR owner now. Not only is he a NASCAR owner at this point, but on top of being a NASCAR owner, he has labeled his team 2311 Motorsports. Why 2311? Well, I don't know if you know this. Michael Jordan famously wore the number 23 when he played in the NBA years ago. Now, he's partnered up with NASCAR champion Denny Hamlin, who drives the number 11 car. So 2311, MJ and Denny Hamlin put together, and they have decided to hire NASCAR's only black driver at its highest cup level, Bubba Wallace, to be the driver. I'm going to break this down for you a little bit because I think MJ has the opportunity to do something for NASCAR that only one other athlete has done for a sport since I was in high school. And I'm going to tell you who and what that is coming up in just a few segments. But for now, we run to a break. When we come back momentarily, Mr. Jay Busby from Yahoo Sports. We talked to him yesterday. We'll play that interview for you today. Talked a little Braves, a little Falcons, a little NASCAR, and more. That's next on the Rob Brown Show. This is ESPN Upstate.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Great to be with you once again all across the upstate. We turn to the great state of Georgia, the Peach State, and a gentleman that is widely known as the Peach of the Peach State himself, my very dear friend, Mr. Jay Busby, joins us here on the broadcast. Jay, what's up, buddy? Long time no talk, pal. How are you?
How am I supposed to follow up that introduction, man? The Peach of the Peach State? I feel like I should do a little baton twirling here or something like that.
I mean, I wouldn't say it if it wasn't true, Jay. I'm anything if not honest.
You are a kind man, sir, no matter what they say about you.
And they say a lot about me, so I've been told. No, it's great to have you back on, man. I appreciate it. I know you're slammed up busy, but I have to ask you, and you and I have been trash-talking our NFL franchises back and forth for years, but we align as far as the Braves go. Have you gotten over it yet? Has 21 years of playoff folly prepared you to get over a Game 7 collapse in the NLCS in 2020?
I mean, that's implying that I was ever not over it. I hate to say this because this will make some Braves fans really mad, but I'm dead inside right now when it comes to the Braves, man. I hate to say it, but, I mean, part of that is actually like working in sports media now where I get to meet these guys up close and talk to them and see if they're just regular dudes and not gods like I used to think they were. But part of it is just having my heart broken so many times that I'm like, you know what? Screw that. I'm not going to I'm not going to give in. I hate to say it, but I looked at every single win of 2020 as just, you know, a gift. And I figured that it was going to end the same way it always ends, with the Braves losing their last game of the season. And it did, but I enjoyed the ride tremendously. I am not going to give myself over to this team until maybe until they're taking a parade down Peachtree Street. And then maybe at that point, I will concede that they actually won. Until that time, I'm just going to, you know, I'm just going to be like at a respectful distance and applauding their victories when they come.
I told somebody on Sunday afternoon that I spent the weekend out in nature, relaxing, enjoying, and it was 100% because I was mentally preparing myself for the collapse. What in the hell can this team do to turn the corner and stop collapsing in the big moments? I mean, we hear about the curses. I don't believe in curses. It's karma for whatever. I don't believe in all that. What can this franchise do to finally turn the corner after the last time they got to a World Series? I was a sophomore in high school. What can they do to turn the corner, man? Because I'm kind of over it.
Yeah, and I'm a little older than you, but I used to do a thing where I would take my dog for a walk for the last time. You know, after they lost it. Because I think I may have told you this before, I used to be a real bad loser. Like, I literally, when Jim Leyritz hit that home run off Mark Wohlers in 96, I literally broke a desk that I was sitting at. I was an IKEA desk, so I wasn't like the Hulk or anything. But I slammed my hands down on it and broke the keyboard part of it off. So I have gotten much better since then. I now go, and whenever they lose their last game, I take my dog for a walk. Now, here's the thing. And the Braves have been around so long, they've been losing so long, that I have had two dogs, and both of them have sadly died. So I don't think it's too much to say that the Braves have killed two of my dogs. That's where I'm going with.
I'm going on the record by claiming that Jay Busby says that the Atlanta Braves have personally murdered two of his dogs at this point.
Yes,
that is just breaking news.
That'll make them call me back in a hurry the next time that I call them. In all seriousness, I don't want to get Braves fans too excited, but this is a really good team. They are not going away. They are a young team. They are under contract. They've got all of the pieces together and locked in for a long time. Now, they may or may not sign Ozuna, but they've got a lot of other players under contract at great deals for a long time. So if you are looking for something as a Braves fan to look forward to, you're going to see them in the playoffs for the next few years. Now, whether or not they do anything, that's another question. But this is a team with a really, really, really bright future.
Was it me? As I'm watching Game 7, it got to be around the sixth inning or so, after the Bellinger home run that put the Dodgers up 4-3. They showed the Dodgers dugout, and there was enthusiasm, and these guys are sitting up on the rail, and they're yelling and hooting and hollering. And they turn the camera around to the Braves dugout. And there's Freddie Freeman with his arms crossed, leaning on the barrier with his chin resting on his forearms. And Ronald Acuna Jr., who was so many times in the series out on the field jumping up and down in those great slow motion shots. He's just kind of sitting almost dejected-like in the back of the dugout. Is that something that goes away with experience, with winning? You learn how to become big in those pressure spots, or is that just the makeup of this team that is maybe emblematic of a bigger problem for the Braves heading into next year with basically the same team intact?
You know, I would say that it's emblematic of a bigger problem in the past, but look what they did after they got blasted by the Dodgers in Game 3. They gave up, what was it, 11 runs in the first inning, 15 runs overall. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, this series is going to be tied. Braves come back and just hammer the Dodgers for game four to go up 3-1. Now, we know what happened next. They didn't ever win another game. But they didn't buckle during the first chance that they had to buckle. And I think that postseason experience will help some of that. Postseason nerves, it's a whole different ball game, if you'll pardon the horrible pun, once you get to the postseason, once you get those late series nerves. I mean, it's tough because, you know, on one hand you want to say, get out there, fight for the last out. But by the same token, they've just had three games, you know, whatever it is up to that point, 20, 27 outs. And so whatever it's three games worth of 27 outs, just letting it slip away, seeing it slip away, seeing not one but two leads slip away. And they have to be thinking, my God, what do we have to do to put a stake through these guys' hearts? And so, yeah, I mean, it's understandable, but I would not take too much of that simply from the way that they rebounded from their initial knockdown.
We are speaking with Jay Busby of Yahoo Sports. You can go search him there and see everything that he writes on Yahoo Sports. Switch gears just a little bit. Jay, I am correct in my assessments about seven times per year, give or take. And so when I hit one on the head, I have to ride it until I'm wrong again, which is usually about 3 to 5 hours max. I came into this year telling people that I thought the Atlanta Falcons had the talent to be, if not the best team in the NFC South, right there in the mix with Brady's Bucks and Breeze Saints, but that the one thing that would hold them back from getting there was the fact that Dan Quinn was not only lost his team, but I don't know that he was ever actually in control of it after the meltdown of a few years ago. They get rid of Dan Quinn. Raheem Morris comes in. The team rallies around him. The Falcons get their first win of the year. A, is Raheem Morris a guy that the Falcons will consider permanently when this year is over? And B, is this a new era for Falcons football?
A, they should. And two, I think it's obviously a new era. The Quinn era is over, and it had its highlights, but it had its absolute lowlights. But I think that it's going to be fascinating, not just as a Falcons fan or a Falcons viewer, but as any kind of NFL fan, to see how this team responds after getting rid of Dan Quinn, after just flushing out, and I don't mean that, that's a bad way to say it, after just changing regimes there, because Quinn, he was unequivocally one of the nicest guys that has ever coached in Atlanta, if not the entire NFL, and that can be a good thing, that can also be a very bad thing. You could argue that maybe he should have been harsher about holding his team's feet to the fire, because we all know what the Falcons' problem was in Super Bowl 51, but it happened again and again and again. We saw it twice this year with the Cowboys and the Bears, where they had a lead and they let it slip away. And that happens so many times. And that is at least partially a function of coaching and conditioning. If you are not prepared to play all 60 minutes, they don't give out wins for winning the first three quarters. And so that's what Atlanta needs to work on. If Raheem Morris can do that, if the new regime can do that, then you're absolutely right. They got a hell of a talented team, but there is a lot that needs to be done in the 6 inches between the ears of the Falcons in order to get them to play better out on the field.
Jay Busby joins us here on the program talking a little bit of everything on Offsides with Rob Brown filling in for Mark Ryan today. One more question for you, Jay, because I know you're busy and we'll cut you back loose. We got the announcement earlier today that Michael Jordan's new NASCAR team, and Jay and I, for those of you who don't know the history, Jay used to come on my show years ago when he was covering NASCAR for Yahoo. He has moved on to bigger and better things. I am still me and working on it. Michael Jordan announces, alongside Denny Hamlin, their new NASCAR team today. It's called 2311, and they announce that they have added Bubba Wallace as the first driver, and of course, as is fitting and acceptable and appropriate, he will be driving the number 23 car for 2311 Motorsports. With this introduction of Michael Jordan, the most recognizable face, I think, maybe in American athletics of all time, with Bubba Wallace, the first black driver on NASCAR's top circuit, and working alongside an incredibly successful driver in Denny Hamlin so far, what kind of boost does this give to NASCAR, both as a sport overall, and will this help bring maybe a younger generation and maybe a more diverse generation to this sport, or do you think NASCAR's too ingrained with where it's always been to grow in that demo, which has frankly really never been touched before?
Yeah, I think there's a tremendous, tremendous opportunity here. I think that you've got a lot of opportunity to see how NASCAR can reach out to a different clientele, because I mean, let's be honest. I'm assuming that most people who are listening now have been to a race. If you haven't, go to one. Go to Darlington. It's amazing. Races are so much fun. And NASCAR, if they can have Jordan bring in a new crowd, it's going to be a lot more fun for all of them. I think the opportunity's there, and it's huge.
Jay Busby joins us right here on ESPN Upstate. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Jay Busby, J-A-Y-B-U-S-B-E-E. He is the go-to for everything in sports overall. Jay, my man, it has been way too long, buddy. I appreciate your time. I know you're busy, and we'll get you on without waiting a month next time, if you don't mind.
I look forward to it, my man. Be safe.
You got it, pal. That's Jay Busby from Yahoo Sports. Again, follow him on Twitter at JayBusBee, at Jay Busby. We'll take a quick break. That was my interview yesterday with Jay Busby of Yahoo Sports, one of my favorite interviews in the game. Let's run to a break. When we come back here in just a minute, we'll talk a little bit more about that NASCAR story that broke yesterday, because I think Michael Jordan and Denny Hamlin have an opportunity to do something for NASCAR that no athlete has done for any other sport since I was in high school. And I'll tell you what that is next, right here on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. This is ESPN Upstate. What's shaking, South Carolina? Great to be with you, Rob and Diesel, with you on a Friday afternoon, baby. Having a grand old time as always. NASCAR, big story yesterday. We knew that Michael Jordan was getting involved in the game. We knew MJ was going to be a team owner, and we knew that Mike was going to be hiring Bubba Wallace. That got made official yesterday. And of course, MJ's car going to be featuring, well, what other number but the 23. So the 23 car owned by Michael Jordan, co-owned by Denny Hamlin, driven by Bubba Wallace, is NASCAR's first majority black owner and first black driver on the Big Cup Series to be sponsored by a majority black owner. It was a big moment in NASCAR, but I don't think people really understand the potential that this move has to help the sport. This is an enormous opportunity for NASCAR, and it's because Michael has the opportunity to do something for the sport that no other athlete has done for their sport since I was in high school. And that is to take his sport and effectively open it to a demographic that has never been touched before. And I am very, very excited for NASCAR about this opportunity, frankly. I remember back in the day, a young man breaking onto the scene in the world of golf by the name of Eldrick Tiger Woods. Tiger became the guy who made golf cool. I've been playing golf since I was in middle school, all right? I was one of those Sperry-wearing silver spoon kids that grew up on a golf course, and because of that, I loved the game of golf. I played it constantly. I played it through high school, but for being honest with each other, golf was a majority white sport. There were no, my friends, my black friends on the basketball team, etc., weren't coming out to play golf with me. That was just a reality. Till Tiger Woods showed up. Here comes this young kid, minority kid named Eldrick, who's not only out there on the golf course, but he's dominating everybody while he is. He is smoking the competition while he's out there playing golf. And all of the sudden, golf was cool. All of the sudden, the Fort Walton Beach Municipal Driving Range that I used to go on lunch breaks to hit golf balls, when I looked around and it was just all white folks out there, all of a sudden, you started seeing young minority kids showing up and playing golf. All of the sudden, when I played in little amateur tournaments for the middle and high schoolers out there, all of a sudden, it wasn't just a bunch of white kids playing. There were other kids playing, and golf was cool. Then, all of a sudden, Tiger Woods starts releasing his video game series on the Xbox, and it was one of the best-selling video game franchises of all time for many years. It was one of the few that ever actually was able to compete with Madden as a franchise. Golf was cool because of Tiger Woods. And now NASCAR has the same opportunity to boost their ratings in demographics that have been predominantly untouched in the history of the sport. NASCAR has a demographic, and that demographic is majoritively white. That's just how the sport has been for years. But there hasn't been much in the way of minority representation on the biggest scale. I know that there are a number of minority drivers around the country driving on local tracks, driving on short tracks, that are racing and owning their own teams on a small level. But let's just call it what it is here, right? At the end of the day, small tracks are great. Short tracks are great. Local tracks are great. Local racing is great. I go up to TR Speedway once a month to watch races because I love it. But the reality of the situation is it doesn't do anything to grow the audience on a national scale. National great racing can grow local racing. Great local racing cannot grow national racing. That's just the truth, okay? So now, on the biggest scale, on the national scale, you've got a black driver competing and competing relatively well at the highest level, and he is in a car that is owned by one of, if not the most famous American athletes of all time. I don't know if you went around the globe that there is a face more recognizable than that of Michael Jordan. Diesel, top of your head, if I said, I need you to go around the world and show a picture of one American athlete to the globe, and if you can get 65 to 70% of them to understand and tell you who that person is there anybody you pick over Michael Jordan?
Maybe Tiger Woods. Maybe LeBron.
Maybe Kobe.
Outside of that, no.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't think I put Tiger Woods in that mix. Maybe LeBron. Maybe Kobe, but I think that without Michael, LeBron ain't LeBron and Kobe ain't Kobe on a global scale, right? So you've got one of the most recognizable, if not the most recognizable American athletes of all time who has a car now, a guy that is popular across demographics, right? MJ is a guy that is known and loved, good, bad, ugly, or indifferent, by every demographic, black, white, young, old, it doesn't matter. They all know Mike, who Mike is, what Mike stands for, what Mike accomplished, etc. So you've got a car owned by the most recognizable American athlete of all time, driven and giving those demographics minority representation. So you're adding the kids who are going to think that whatever Michael does is cool now, that spend $230 on a pair of new Jordans every year when they come out. You got a minority demographic that has never been welcomed into NASCAR, all right? That's why NASCAR took those Confederate flags down earlier in the year. And now they have representation and a representation that is put out on the forefront by Michael Jordan himself. No sport has had this opportunity since Tiger Woods turned the game of golf into a game that was cool for a handful of years. And Diesel, NASCAR will be foolish if they do not full throttle into taking advantage of the attention that Michael Jordan and Bubba Wallace can bring to this sport from young people and from minorities who have never been invited before, but now have a wide open invitation to think NASCAR is cool for the first time. 844-477-3776, 844-GSP-ESPN, 71307 is the text line. Start your text at ESPN. Here's the text that just came in. ESPN, I'm glad to hear Michael Jordan is starting his own NASCAR team. However, he picked a pretty mediocre driver at best. The only reason Bubba Wallace is driving for him is the color of his skin. If I was a team owner, I would be picking the best driver available. So here's the thing. There's a very short list of elite drivers, and most of those elite drivers, they've got their rides already. Who's the best driver available right now, right?
That's like saying a new franchise in the NFL starts, and oh my God, you just couldn't go out and get Tom Brady, so right. Like, why even try?
Right. Those guys aren't available. And on top of that, right? So I think Bubba Wallace is better than he gets credit for, right? I think he's better than he gets credit for. I think with top-tier equipment, Bubba Wallace would be a good, not great, not excellent, but very good driver, a guy who could make the playoffs. I do think he has that level of talent. But as far as the only reason he's driving for MJ is the color of his skin, two things. First off, you're not entirely wrong. I absolutely think that a part of the reason that MJ and Denny Hamlin went and got Bubba Wallace, aside from the fact that Denny Hamlin and Bubba Wallace are friends, is because Michael Jordan now has the only black driver driving for him, and Michael Jordan is going to make money on this venture if and only if he accomplishes what I just said he has the ability to accomplish, which is to make it cool to rep Bubba Wallace gear, to rep 2311 Motorsports gear, and to watch NASCAR, right? Michael Jordan is, by hiring Bubba Wallace, inviting people who have never been invited before. I've told you this story before. I've got a group of friends down in Destin that we go to sporting events, well, when I live there, around the country as a group. And the only sporting event that the guy in charge of that group, a buddy of mine named Bobby, black guy named Bobby, the only sport he would not go with us to is a NASCAR race. And the only reason he wouldn't go to the NASCAR race is because he said, when I show up, I am made to feel uncomfortable. I get stares. He went to two with me. He said, I get stared at. The Confederate flags everywhere make me uncomfortable. I'm not comfortable going to those events. It's the only events he would not go with me to. Now, all of the sudden, with the flags down and Bobby Best, a guy who has never had a driver that he could relate to, now he's got a guy he can relate to driving for Michael Jordan in an environment that is much more welcoming than ever before. That is exactly Michael Jordan's goal, and it worked out well. Quick break. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show with ESPN Upstate. Wrapping up hour number one of the Rob Brown Show right here on ESPN Upstate. Coming up in the next hour of the show, you're going to hear from not one but two of our local coaches. Yesterday, I got the opportunity to speak with Coach John Harkes of the Greenville Triumph. That soccer team of the Upstate has locked themselves in not only the USL League One championship match, but they have locked themselves into home field advantage in the USL League One championship match, which means that that championship match next Friday, October 30th, will take place right here in Greenville at Legacy Early College. I could not be more excited about that. It's going to be awesome. We'll hear from Coach John Harkes of the Triumph coming up at 1:15, then at 1:35 or so, we'll hear from Andrew Lord. Andrew Lord is the head coach of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. That is right, ladies and gentlemen. You are getting not one, but two of the head coaches of your local professional sports team coming up in the next hour. So that hour is going to be very busy. We are also going to give you in the final hour an interview we did yesterday with John Epps and Kevin Thomas of Moving the Chains. Those two guys put on the very best podcast that covers local high school football. So we will hear from Kevin and John of Moving the Chains coming up in the final hour of the show. And of course, squeezed in all around those topics, we're going to give you our picks and predictions for the football weekend. Want yours as well. Went yesterday on the record and put it down officially in ink. South Carolina will go on the road and defeat the LSU Tigers down there in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, in Red Stick, Louisiana. They will take on the LSU Fighting Tiger, defending national champions. And I have got LSU falling to the Gamecocks. The Gamecocks are a 4.5-point underdog to LSU, but it has been announced that Miles Brennan is out for the game because of a significant lower body injury, which means that LSU will be turning to true freshman TJ Finley at quarterback against the Gamecocks. That plays right into the hands of J.C. Horn and those Gamecock defenders who came up with three picks against Bo Nix last week. They'll do it again this week. We'll give you more picks later on. 2 hours left. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. This is ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.